This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Storrs, Connecticut. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It is January 18th, 2017. Welcome to Bicycle Talk this week with my co-host, Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, please call or text at 860-486-9487, or you can email me at bicycletalk, the numeral 1, at gmail.com. If you're listening to me on podcast today, then you can simply send an email to bicycletalk, the numeral 1, at gmail.com. We encourage your comments, please. Anything that you want to send to us, share with us, we would love to hear it. So please feel free to do so. Going to start out, I do have a guest coming very shortly, but I am going to start out this week with, it's kind of a segue for our guest, but I will start out with the rant of the week. And the rant of the week is bicycle riders who totally give up on riding when the season ends. What's with that? What's the problem? You know, you gotta stay moving, you gotta stay fit. Now I will admit, when I was younger, I was able to hang the bike up and walk away from it and not do anything really very productive at all, and then get back on the bike and get my fitness back in a fairly short period of time. But I'm not younger anymore. So now I've got this problem where if I don't stay moving, then life is a lot harder to deal with. So I have to stay moving all the time. So I have discovered that if it is too cold outside, and often it is for me because I am not real good with the cold weather, I find that riding on a spin bicycle or a trainer or doing something that involves the indoors is a much better way for me to deal with that problem. So our episode today is going to be about spinning and indoor cycling, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But since my guest is not quite here yet, she's on her way, I am going to start with two different options that you have as far as indoor cycling goes. If you're a serious cyclist and you really want to get your fitness or keep your fitness, or if it comes down to, you know, I had somebody in the class this morning, and this was funny. She has not been on her bike since October.
Wow.
And she was in class today, and she was there Monday, and then she was here Wednesday. She's gone back to the Monday, Wednesday, Friday classes.
Yeah.
And she said the rude awakening that she had was that she got back on the bike and her butt hurt.
Right.
Badly.
Yes.
Very, very badly.
Right.
So that's another thing about when you get off the bike, you have to go through that whole break-in period again, which
right.
is really kind of painful.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get through it. You do five or six classes and things get a lot better. But, boy, that first initial contact with the saddle is not good, because you have your sits bones, which are, you know, now have very little protection over them, so you feel that right away. And then you also have your adductors.
Your adductors, but also your tailbone.
I don't have as much trouble with the tailbone. That never really bothers me. I know you have more trouble with that than I do.
Well, I had trouble with my tailbone in 2000, what was the year I lost all the weight? 2004, right?
Yeah.
In 2004 for 2 weeks. And then, of course, I never gotten off my bike for a significant amount of time since 2004. But that is something you deal with. I mean, some people choose to have an off season, and they really do have an off season, and they hang the bike up and they don't ride, and they don't do any kind of cycling indoor or outdoor in the wintertime. And that's a choice they make. And some people don't exercise at all.
Right.
And then some people, they just do other things.
Well, some people exercise. They get up off the couch and they walk over to the refrigerator and they grab something to eat and then they walk back to the couch.
Some do that, but some people do other things. Some people, they don't do indoor cycling. They run and
there's
weights.
A lot of things you can do.
Yeah.
You know, it's a number of people I know who are competitive cyclists they hang the bike up for a month.
Yeah, for a month. Hanging up for a month is a good idea.
Yeah. So anyway, they hang the bike up for a month, and That's what they end up doing to, just take a break. And that's not just a physical break that they're taking there. They're actually taking a mental break. So they're hanging the bike up and they are getting their mind away from the bicycle for a little while. Maybe they're doing something different. Maybe they're going swimming. Maybe they're going to the gym and they're doing a few things there too. That's kind of the direction that they go. And they, it just gives you a break. And I know my competitive friends, if they've been competing all year round, and we have friends that are not just amateur cyclists. We also have a friend who is a professional cyclist, and she, this is a conversation I've had with folks before, where sometimes you just need a break, and just a mental break that doesn't require you to be spinning your legs around on your bicycle. I have found that since I gave up my competitive days and I'm just riding as a casual rider now and enjoying that I don't really need the break as badly as I did when I was spinning, when I was racing. So it just is a different thing. So anyway, some people give it up completely. Some people have to keep moving. Our subject today is going to be on spinning, because spinning is a very, very popular activity that you see, and actually, boy, it's been around for a long time now, but it tends to draw some of the people from the outside to the inside.
And not always.
There are some people that look at it and they give the thumbs down on the spinning, and they would rather ride on a trainer.
And then there's the reverse, and that's the people who won't ride outside.
Yes,
that's true. Will ride indoors.
Yes, yes. The spinners that won't ride a bike outside. So anyway, I have a guest today. This is Carrie Jenkins, and she is from Mansfield, Connecticut, and she is a Mad Dog certified spinning instructor, I do believe. Is that correct?
I am. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, Carrie. Thank you so much for coming today. This is great.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here.
As I said last week, we have not one, not two, but three Mad Dog certified spinning instructors sitting right here in the room, because Fran is also one, and so am I. So we are all, we've all been through all that training and all that fun stuff. But we're going to get to that in a minute. Because you have to answer the big question. You're a guest on the show, and you have to tell me what your very first experience was with being on a bicycle.
I think it was probably like most young children. I remember I was probably about six or so, and we were in my childhood home. Well, not in the home, but in the driveway. And I was on one of those big banana seats. It was a banana seat. I remember that.
I had one of those. Yeah, I had one of those. Yeah.
And it was a kind of a brownish Huffy, and I had had my training wheels on there for a while, and we decided to take them off, and I remember my dad holding on to the back of that banana seat, and he was behind me, or I thought he was behind me, and I looked behind, and lo and behold, he was not behind me anymore.
Yeah. So you have the dad story.
Yeah.
I get the dad story a lot.
That was the same as mine.
You had the dad story. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, Franny.
Then I was fine until I looked back and he wasn't there, and that's when I fell down.
But did you freak out the minute you saw he wasn't there?
For a second, I fell down, but then I had a pure elation. I was like, oh my
word. Yeah.
I just did that myself. I guess I don't need him there anymore. So yeah, it was a very, very it was a positive experience despite the fall.
And you feel the independence. It comes to away.
It's like, I
can do this. It's me. It's my machine all together. It's great. So Carrie, you are also, boy, you have a pile of credentials here. You have a whole bunch of different things that you do. You're certified in a number of different things. Maybe tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, I'm a personal trainer, a certified personal trainer. I'm a group fitness instructor. I'm also a hypnotherapist, which is different kind of thing. I'm a behavioral therapist, because I found that through the years working with clients one-on-one, you can't just expect them to change by giving them exercises to do or telling them to do certain things. You have to actually get to the root of why they won't or why they don't want to change. So I'm a behavior change specialist. I also am a nutritionist.
Wow.
I've studied a lot of nutrition originally in the UK. And I that's really my main passion, is to work with people who really want to change on the the deepest levels.
Wow. Wow, that's
so,
really cool.
I specialize with people, particularly with people who tend to have depression and anxiety issues and weight issues, yeah.
Okay. The UK?
Yes.
What do you mean, the UK? What are you doing over there?
Well, that's where I got my original certifications. I don't know if any is going to show my age here, but when I first got obsessed with group fitness, it was when Billy Blanks, do you remember Billy Blanks?
Tybo.
Yeah. I just adored him. And he was big, really, really big when I was in high school and into college. And I was really into his type of workouts. And I moved to the UK. My husband was in the Air Force. And that was our first assignment. We moved to England, to Cambridge, England. And there was just nothing like that there.
Really?
Nothing at all. So I thought, okay, well, what I need to do then is I need to get certified in group fitness and kickboxing, essentially. And so that's what I did. I got certified in group fitness, and I started teaching, and then it just kind of snowballed from there. Then I started, I did some training in yoga, I did some training in Pilates, did my first nutrition certification over there. I did my hypnotherapy certification over there. And then I came back over to the U.S. and realized I had to do it all over again, because most of the certifications weren't recognized. So I had to do it all over again.
Really?
Which was fine, because I love studying this kind of stuff. And when we moved to Albuquerque, New Mexico, which is a big cycling state.
Yes.
Big times.
Yeah.
That's when I got my initial spin certification.
Nice.
And I've been spinning ever since. So it's been, I don't know, probably like 15 years.
Wow.
That I've been teaching
spin.
That's
a long time.
Yeah. I love it, because it's a great option for a lot of people, people who might not normally consider it. I see in my classes all the time. In fact, I have so many boomers in my classes. Some of my most dedicated students are in their 50s and 60s, 70s. You know, they're there religiously. And I think a lot of people think, oh, spinning, you know, it's for the hardcore, you know, fitness enthusiasts, but it's not. It's for everybody. It's a great option for a lot of people. It's very low stress on the joints, and you know, it's a fun workout. It's one of my favorite formats.
You find there's a lot of misconceptions about the whole spinning thing?
Absolutely. Yeah. When I tell people I'm a spin instructor, they're like, whoa.
I know. What is it? Like all of a sudden you're bad.
Yeah. You're super fit. But no, I am not super fit.
Yes, you are. But sorry, you can't hide that one.
Well, I think initially when people say, oh, yeah, I just went to spin class or you know, oh, I'm a spin instructor, people immediately think, oh, wow, that's really like beyond me. It's not. It's the beautiful thing about spin is you are in control of your bike the whole time. And if you have a spin instructor that comes up and you know, adjusts your tension for you, you might want to check out another instructor.
Leave that class. Yes. Yeah, that's not a great idea.
That's not really the way it's meant to be. You are in control. You're meant to be in control of your bike the whole time. So you can go as easy, or you can go as hard as you want. So you really shouldn't be complaining at the end of a spin class, oh, that was too hard, or oh, that was too easy, because you know what? It's your dial. It's your control. So there's a lot of people who think it's too tough. But no, you can make it into what you want it.
My disclaimer is when people, because I get the same thing, people say, well, you know, I'd take your class, Ron, but, you know, oh, no, that's too hard for me. It's just too hard. And it's like, it's not any harder than you want to make it. And what I tell them is, if I ask you to do something you can't do, don't do it.
Right.
It's very simple. It's very simple. We're not going to like flunk you from the class because you didn't do something.
Right. And I make sure I say that before every class. I say, you know, I'm going to ask you to do a lot of things. Especially for newbies, I say, you know, I'm going to ask you to do a lot of things that you might not be able to, or just might not feel like doing. That's fine. You don't worry about, don't think you have to do everything I'm telling you to do. I'm just here to motivate you a little bit beyond what you might do, you know, out there on the gym floor or on your own. I'm just here trying to provide you a little bit of extra motivation.
We're the cheerleaders.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just here to cheer you on. Absolutely. Thanks. I had two women come into my class the other day. And they didn't even make it through the warm up. They
really?
And that's actually the first time that's ever happened to me in my whole 15 years. They just looked at each other. They were friends. I think, yeah, they were friends. And they were just like, yeah, we're done. They didn't even make it through the warm up. And I had actually gone to them at the beginning of class, and I said, you know, don't worry about it. Don't stress. Just try to stay on the bike. And
right.
I don't know what it was. Maybe they didn't like the song I was playing. I'm not sure.
Well, that, you know, there's a musical component to it. Yeah. Obviously, there's a lot of components to it. But there, you know, yeah, I have people that don't like my music. So,
yeah,
you know, oh, well.
Oh, well. Can't please everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like your music, Ron.
Oh, thank you.
We have
thank
very similar musical tastes.
Yeah. Well, you're looking for the beat. You know, you're looking for the beat. You need the beat to keep driving forward, to keep spinning your legs, and you want to stay with it. And I get bits and pieces of music from Fran, too, because she has a different type of music she listens to, so we share music back and forth. And she's introduced me to some different things, which are kind of cool.
Yeah, I think you're more old school hardcore rock and roll, and then the modern versions of that. And I like all that stuff a lot.
What do you listen to, Fran?
Oh gosh, a lot of stuff. You know, but what Ron will play, the old school stuff that I enjoy, I really like for spinning. I really like Chicago. Some of the old Chicago songs are really good. So Only the Beginning is a great song. Because it starts out kind of slow and then it goes in the end and it has all those drums and it's really fantastic. And you know, I'll do silly old stuff. I use Journey.
I love Journey. Right? I played Journey yesterday in my class.
Yeah. Can't help myself from falling. Yeah.
So
some old school rock. Ron and I got into a phase where we were using a lot of Beck. Because Beck has a lot of good beats.
Beck's got
some great beats. Some really good songs.
Yeah. Zeppelin has got some great tunes.
Yes.
Phenomenal tunes.
We've used Whole Lot of Love. Mm-hmm. And, yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge Led Zeppelin fan. As when I was racing my bike, I had now I'm going to date myself so you can find out how old I am. I had a cassette player in my car. And the cassette player, I had you made mixtapes.
Oh,
remember?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Tapes, I still have
right?
some of my mixtapes.
Yeah, we have all of ours, too, which is a problem because we don't know what to do with them.
Right.
What do you do with it? We have boxes of
you
them.
You can't throw them away. Mm. Not the super sentimental ones.
Oh, God.
But
I,
then
I
one
wish
of the
I hadn't
things,
heard that.
One of the things I try to do is I try to listen to what's out there.
Right.
Because if you play stuff that everybody's listening to, it pulls them in.
Absolutely.
Things that people like.
Mm-hmm.
So when Forget You came out, well, I was using Forget You and Zumba, and that was really popular.
You teach Zumba?
I am trained to teach Zumba. I don't teach it now, but yes.
But you're certified.
Yes, I'm certified in Zumba.
I didn't know that. She's a woman of many talents.
She's amazing. Yeah.
And Nia, a body, mind, fitness artist, which I can tell you about.
She does this other very interesting thing, too.
And then, you know, Lady Gaga has a few songs that I like to use.
Mm-hmm.
Born This Way.
Mm-hmm.
And her new one, the one about smoke in the mirror, you know, the mirror on the ceiling.
See, I have an app on my phone, SoundHound. Have you heard of
yes.
it?
Yeah.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah, we use that.
Yeah, well, I'm like, what is the song?
And
I'll
play.
Right.
I'm like,
right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I sit in the car and I listen to music on, various feeds that come in. And if I see something that I really like, I just save it. I can save it. And I have, what am I using now? I'm using that Spotify.
Right.
I'm using.
Yeah, Spotify.
And with my Spotify, I actually, if it's something that I like, I can click on it and it'll save it to a playlist that's just for spin songs.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I can go back and listen to it later and realize that it had way too many swears in it and I really can't use that.
Right.
Or that, you know, it wasn't really what I thought it was. But,
yeah.
You know, you review it later.
Yeah, and I'm open. I'm totally open to people coming out. I say to them after class, you know, if you like a certain type of genre or something, I've made spin lists,
right.
Playlists for my participants. On the Monday night at Super Future, I used to teach a group of women, probably in their 50s, maybe late 50s.
I know those people.
We know them.
Yeah.
You know them. Yeah.
The three amigas, we call them.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm talking about. They wanted 60s.
Yeah.
They love the Turtles and who else? And so I made a whole spin list for them and I love it. I that's another thing with when it comes to spin is if you love the music, the ride's going to go by so much faster. It's going to be so much more enjoyable. And typically your instructor will be open to hearing your suggestions about what you like and what you want to listen to.
I've had people hand me CDs and say, could you use some of these?
Yeah.
And then I'll listen to them and I'll go, oh, yeah, that's
yeah,
good.
Absolutely.
So I'll have classes
like that.
You can
make almost anything work. I mean, think about your Christmas playlist that you played.
Yeah, I never shared that with you, did I?
I know, I want that.
That's all right. I can do that. We can do that after we're done here. So I will definitely share that with you. Yeah, because the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. It was a glam rock band, and then they got into this whole Christmas thing because the whole glam rock thing kind of fell apart, right? And that kind of go away. I guess Kiss is still
but
around.
But that's
right?
what the novelty that was the novelty of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. They play this hard rock Christmas music, and right. so now they have these laser light show. Concerts around Christmas time.
That they came to Hartford, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
yes.
Yeah, we've seen them.
We saw them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and their music is good for spinning
because
it's high energy and it's great for the holidays.
Yeah, I'll have to try them this year. I'm going to do it. You inspired me. You finally inspired
yeah,
me.
Yeah, no, that's you know, we'll just ask. Just ask. And ask a lot. If you didn't get a response from me, you can always ask again. That's fine. And I can help you out with that. But my other real, I love AC/DC.
Yeah.
The AC/DC just... They do it. They make, you know, they got that hard driving thing. And the one that Fran turned me on to, one of the ones that Fran turned me on to was the Dandy Warhols.
Yeah, Dandy Warhols.
I've heard of them. I don't know if I've listened to them.
They're from Portland, Oregon.
Oh, then they got to be cool.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I
or weird, one of the two.
Yes, right? Keep Portland weird.
It's part of a Portland thing. So, yeah, you know, so like you, I am also looking for the beat. I'm looking for, you know, what is going to drive the music forward and make people pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I sometimes like to throw things in that no one's ever heard before, because otherwise you get the listeners and singers in your class. You ever get that?
I've never had that.
No?
No.
No, you've never had Fran in one of your classes.
Singing along to the to the tune?
Yeah,
haven't.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah, I've seen her do that. And then I have others that will do that, too. They'll just start singing along with
I love
them,
it.
Because they love the song. And
well,
so
if they're singing, they're not working hard enough.
That's what I say. That's exactly what I say.
You should only be able to say a couple words at a time.
Well, I'm thinking
depending
maybe,
on what stage you're at in your workout. But
well, what do you think of karaoke spin?
Oh, that could be fun.
That could be fun.
As an endurance ride? As
yeah.
a recovery ride?
Yeah. Let's see you sing this while you're doing this at this level, you know, and
that
you know,
could
we could
be
have
fun.
Some fun
I could
with
go
that.
For that.
So anyway, we're going to have to brainstorm. We're going to have to work on this. But anyway, so spinning, you got hooked on it. You've been doing it for a long time.
Long, long time.
Long, long time.
Yep,
and wherever you
favorites.
Go, you can spin. Because I know you're kind of a nomad. You kind of travel because of your husband.
Yeah, the
right?
military, we've been everywhere. We've been Albuquerque, so we've been out west. We've been in Texas. We've been in England. We've been in Japan.
Wow.
We've been...
Do they spin in Japan?
You know, I don't think... Yes, they do. They do.
They do.
Spin and bend. Yep. Mm. They do.
And England, they spin?
Oh, absolutely.
Do they wear proper clothing?
No.
I'm sorry. I'm picking on the poor English. Shame on me.
They're fashionable in a different way than we are.
They are.
They are.
They're
much better dressed than us for the most part. But yeah, everywhere I've lived, I have managed to stumble upon a spin class. It's just got that appeal that cross-border appeal to everybody.
Yeah, it's kind of a universal thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see, what else do we have here? What are some of the main benefits of indoor cycling?
Well, I think it's a great cross-training tool for a lot of people because you're staying off your joints. You're not going to be, you know, hashing on your joints, banging on your joints while you're doing, especially if you get your bike set up properly. You get to go at your own pace and you can make it as hard as you want. So you're going to burn a ton of calories regardless. It's a great format. It's a great cross training format, especially for people who do a lot of running, who do a lot of weight training. And it also gives you a chance to kind of zone out because you're mm-hmm. you're not moving around too much. You know, Yeah, you're getting up and out of the saddle, but you can kind of go to a place in your mind where you can just kind of zone out.
Yeah, because you're being supported by the machine.
Right.
You know, so you're...
You don't have to think about balance too much. You don't have to think about, you know, do I put my arms here? Do I, you know, you're just kind of on the bike and you're just riding. And they've actually linked how cycling can can actually help to alleviate depression of all things, just because of the rhythm. And
yeah,
just the,
I could see that.
The zoning out. It's kind of like a moving meditation. In
yeah.
A way.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that. Yeah.
It's my drug of choice.
Yeah. Same here.
I always same feel here. Better. I mean, I personally have struggled with that my throughout my whole life, and I have to say, every single time I get off my bike, I feel better.
Yeah.
Than when I first got on it.
Well, you know, if you do a really hard workout too, you know, your endorphins kick in at the end because you've worked super hard, and then all of a sudden, all these endorphins go to your brain, and you just feel good. You just feel happy. Mm-hmm. And or the runners call it the runner's high. That's what they call
it when
they get
done. I like to call it the cyclist high.
Okay. We'll call it the cyclist high. I like that. I like that. That works. So I'm going to be the person who shows up to a spin class for the very first time, never done it before. I'm scared to death mm-hmm. because I've heard all the horror stories. And I think that, by the way, there are no real horror stories. Please disregard.
What's the worst thing that's ever happened in a spin class?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I've never even had, you know, I've been teaching spinning now for 13 years, and no one has ever crashed.
I got sick once.
You got sick once. Oh, I was there for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah. That was fun. We pushed.
Was that
her.
During a class or was that during
no.
a fitness
no,
test?
No, it was not. It was a fitness
there,
test.
That's
yeah,
not
that
the
fitness
same
test
thing,
that I was
Brad.
Going to do for you. Yeah, yeah. It is not the same thing. It
and
is
you
not.
Can't. Well, then the point is that you can make spinning very, very easy and low intensity, and you can push it as high intensity as you
absolutely.
Want to. And you can absolutely use it as a training tool, a cross training tool, and it can. I do believe that it does train you for the road. There's nothing that trains you for hills as well as climbing hills.
Right.
But it helps. It helps a lot, especially if you do certain kinds of training.
Intervals, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it's the focus thing. I think that's, you know, it teaches you how to maintain yourself when you're pushing yourself really, really hard. When you're pushing your heart rate up into zone 4 and you're really, you know, you're really working hard, you're really breathing hard. And it teaches you how to be there for a long time. I taught a class this morning where I brought them up to high level zone 3. So working pretty hard,
right.
You know, comfortably hard is what I like to call it. And then we did a series of these 30-second out of the saddle, go for it with everything you got, but then only go back down to that
the
comfortably
zone
3. Hard.
Right.
So
that's hard.
And we sat,
that's a hard drill.
And we did it for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And people were, you know, I was starting to get a few glazed eyes.
Because you don't get your full recovery in.
You never get it. It
right.
just doesn't happen. And eventually what happens is as you get deeper into it, you're going up into zone 4, so you're working super hard. But sometimes you don't come out of it before you mm-hmm. have to go there again. And that's when things
that's
get
that's one of your cruelest
difficult.
Workouts, Ron.
No, I have more.
Worse than that?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah. Have you ever done Tabatas?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Tabatas are pretty cruel.
Yeah.
They're pretty cruel. Very efficient, but cruel.
Yeah.
But so anyway, so I'm brand new, and I'm coming to my first spin class, and I walk in, and I see you there, and I'm already starting to get nervous.
Well,
and,
first of all.
And so what do I expect when I walk into a spin class?
Well, first off, if you are considering taking a spin class, I would highly recommend that you show up at least a few minutes early. You got to. This is not the
well
type
said.
Of class that you want to turn up. If it's class is at 8, you turn up at 7:59.
No.
You want to be there about 10 minutes early and just don't waste any time. Go up to the spin instructor and say, you know what? This is my first class. I've never done this before. What should I do? Can you help me set up my bike? Just and immediately your spin instructor will more than likely almost take you by the hand, bring you back to your bike and get you set up.
Right.
And start to reassure you that this is going to be a good experience. You're going to have a good time. You want to make sure that before class, you know, you have what you need. You want to be wearing comfortable clothing. You don't want to be wearing pants that could kind of get caught up in the pedals. You want to probably be wearing shorts or, you know, fairly tight capris. You want to make sure you have enough water. You want to definitely bring water, bring a towel because you are probably going to sweat.
Yeah.
And they're just going to set you up. So show up early and they're going to take you through a bike setup. And, you know, you're going to just do the best that you can and expect that your bottom will be a little bit sore the next day.
Oh, yeah.
If it's your first
oh,
try.
Yeah. If it's your first time, your bottom is going to be sore.
Yeah.
You just
and that's normal.
Deal with it. Live with it. six classes later, you won't even notice it anymore.
I think you build up butt calluses.
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. I don't know if it's exactly that, but
I've taught up to like 8 to 10 classes a week, and it's only at that point where it really starts getting.
Well, I have done the same, and it's, you know, that gets to be a little trying. But then you also learn as an instructor that you can't be participating at the highest level in all of those classes, or else, you know, you're gonna hurt yourself. So you can't do that. So the water thing. I remember when I was trained to be a spinning instructor, they talked about 40 ounces of water before, during, and after, and so it's kind of a rough idea for like a 40-minute class. So think about
it. Seems like a lot of water, but you need it. Yeah.
And I mean, Fran and I will often go through two bottles on a really tough day. You know, and I drink a lot before I get to class.
Yeah,
and then
too.
I drink during class, and then I drink after class. And that's really, really important, because you don't realize how much, especially if you start sweating a lot.
Yeah.
When I'm doing hard training, I bring 3 bottles.
Yeah.
I do. And usually I get through the 2 bottles during the class, and then I need the third one after the class. And if I'm doing any more than an hour and a half at a time, at least 3 bottles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if you're doing my extreme spin class.
A bottle being at least 20 ounces.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. So water is crucial. In fact, I've sometimes been known to not allow people to take my class unless they have water. I've gone out and bought them a water from the you know, the front desk or whatever, because it scares me. I don't.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm with you. Yeah, you really, because you can cramp if you're not hydrated properly.
Yeah.
You can even cramp if you are fairly well hydrated,
right,
but still obviously weren't enough, so you run into that problem.
And you know how we talk about if you're exercising for an hour or less, it's usually fine to use just plain water? With this class, I think it depends on the intensity of your workout. If you're just spinning easy and you're not working too hard and you're sweating and you don't cramp, I think that's fine. But if you're doing any kind of intervals, you're doing Tabatas, or you're doing hard intervals, or you're
reaching your max heart rate.
All right, makes
or close
you,
to
or,
it.
Yeah, or even if you're doing tempo, if you're doing any kind of off and on hard intervals, I put something in the water bottle besides just water, even if it's not full-on Gatorade. I think full-on sport drink is probably too much, but a little bit of coconut water, a little bit of
something
electrolyte
with electrolytes.
Powder. Yes,
absolutely.
Indeed. Even if it's like a quarter cup of or less of fruit juice and a pinch of salt.
Yeah.
And then fill the rest with
you
water.
Yeah, make your own.
But something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you definitely want to do that. So I also see, I'm looking at some notes that you sent over to me. Thank you very much for sending me notes. Always helps. So what if you have like an injury or something that specifically medical situation that you might have? Would you talk to your spin instructor about that?
Oh, definitely. Usually the spin instructor will ask. I mean, we don't always remember, but to ask at the beginning of class, do we have to work around any injuries? That's something we should do, but we don't always remember to do that. So I really appreciate it as an instructor if someone will come up to me and say, you know what, I did something to my knee last week, or I got something going on with my back, or even if it's just, you know what, I got a meeting, I got to skip out 5 minutes early. I like to know what's going on with my students, because otherwise I get nervous. I start to
I know
create.
You hate to see them walk out the door.
I
go,
do.
What did I do?
Right.
What did I do?
Absolutely. So if you tell your teacher, you know what, I got this going on with my body. How can I modify? They should be able to tell you, you know, what you can do, how to lay off, how to work around those injuries. And it'll just make the class a much more enjoyable experience for you. And you'll get more out of it. And then also, I really appreciate it, too, when people do tell me, you know, I got to leave early or whatever.
I had a couple of those this morning. And, and you know, one who always leaves early. I know he does. He's just, that's the way it is. But another one who had to go to a meeting. And so he said, you know, I just want to let you know ahead of time. I'm not, you know, not cutting out on you or being rude. He goes, I have to get somewhere. So,
and we do appreciate that as instructors.
Oh, we sure do.
We do. We worry about you guys. We worry if you're okay.
Yeah. And then I had the people that come up to me, and I would do this when I first started spinning, because, you know, I would go over and introduce myself to the instructor and say, hey, look, you know, I ride a bike outside.
Yes.
And
you can always tell the cyclist, though. At the end of class, I'll be like, if I had someone new in my class, I'll be like, you're a cyclist, aren't you? Yep.
Oh, yeah.
You can
pick them out. They're mm-hmm. real easy to see. They have a different form on their bike. Mm-hmm. They tend to be a little more relaxed in a drop position. They're not as stiff on their bike. They
tend to go harder, too.
They leave really big puddles under their bikes.
Mm-hmm. They always go harder. You can tell.
They go harder, and yet they're moving less.
Right. And that is the key part right mm-hmm. there. The upper body movement, when you're looking at a cyclist, someone who's actually, you know, spent a lot of time on a bike outside, they don't sway side to side.
Right.
They don't bounce. They just seem at home with being in that position on the bike.
Mm-hmm. And you'll be doing it, and then in the middle of a hard interval, they'll drink water.
Right.
They figured out
how
to drink.
You're gasping for air.
Yeah,
you
figured out how to drink even if you're not, like, with the resistance isn't off.
You know how you train for that, right?
You do it on the road.
Yeah, but you know how you do it on the road.
I don't know what you're saying.
People would say to me, because I would race in these races called criteriums, and they're god-awful miserable. They're really fast, and you're gasping for air the whole time, but you have to drink, or you have to eat. You know, you have to put food in, and you can barely... You can barely think, let alone, you know, put anything in your body. You can't imagine it. So I used to eat when I was climbing hills. That's when I would do it.
Wow.
I would eat and drink when I was climbing hills and training. And when I did that in training, then I could get myself to drink while I was at an extreme level.
Yeah.
So wow. Yeah, so you can pick out the cyclists.
Oh, yeah. Whenever
too.
I have a cyclist, I always feel slightly intimidated when I know I have a hardcore cyclist. But they tend to be so appreciative and so good. Like, they know what they're doing.
Right.
They know what they're doing. They know what they want to do in your class. So.
And we're there to work.
Yeah.
And they want you to motivate them. I mean, it doesn't,
right.
you know, don't be intimidated by them. Because
and we're not going to walk out.
No.
No. I've never had a cyclist walk out.
And we're glad to be there because otherwise we'd be by ourselves trying to figure out what to do. It's even if you're doing your own workout in a spin class, you're so glad to be in the class because you have other people around you, somebody talking to you, somebody else playing the music,
mm-hmm.
and you just have community. And, you know, that's a really nice thing. If you appreciate community, it makes the workout go by
yeah, I've noticed
in a much more
that.
Enjoyable
I've noticed
way.
That with cyclists. Like, when they come in, they do what they need to do, but in, a non-judgmental way.
Right.
You know, they usually will do their own workout. And so I just like to say to cyclists, you know, yeah, it's not going to be like you're out on the road because it's just not.
Right.
It's a totally different type workout. But you're still going to get a workout in. You're hopefully going to enjoy yourself. And
they're there for the music. They're mm-hmm. there for the camaraderie. They're there because, let me tell you, sitting in the garage or the basement on a trainer with a little video screen in front of you is really difficult.
Yeah.
It's a level of torture that I can't even begin to tell you about.
Well, now people do Zwift.
Heard of Zwift the other
day.
Yeah. And you know, I'll probably have another episode of this podcast radio show where I talk about the other options besides spin class. Because
we should get
there,
some people in
ways,
who do Zwift.
Yeah, I could bring some people in
I just
in that.
Noticed that the other day because I typed in spin into Google. And an ad came up, tired of spinning? Check out Zwift. And I'm mm-hmm. like, what is
yeah.
that?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's interactive.
It's interesting.
Yeah, well, years ago, there was a company that CompuCycle. It's a CompuTrainer,
mm-hmm.
which made a device that you would get on and you could hook it into your computer.
Mm-hmm.
And you could ride with a friend in California,
mm-hmm.
you know, or wherever, you know, someplace far away.
So it's a trainer-based workout then.
It's a trainer-based workout,
right.
exactly. And the trainer would be, you know, it's actually electronically controlled, computer-controlled to change the resistance on you. So, and these have really emerged. Like I said, I need to do another episode on this because it's really fascinating. Because what it does is you can go out and you can record a ride. So you go out and you do...
Like on your bike.
Like on your bike with a ride with GPS or Map My Ride or one of those programs. And you record the ride. And if you have a wattage meter on your bike and it's recording the wattage, the amount of work you're doing and all that, it saves it and remembers it. And then it transfers it over to the trainer.
Wow.
So you end up going on the same ride, but you're indoors.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Have you done it?
I tried one at a bike shop that I called on
mm-hmm.
just to see what it was about. And it was like, oh, boy, this is intensely difficult.
I bet it is.
Really, it's a different game.
Well, because you don't have the distraction of your environment.
Right.
You know, you're just sitting
exactly.
there on that bike.
And again, you know, why do you go to spin class? You go to spin class if you're a hardcore cyclist and you're going to spin class, you're going there because you just can't do it yourself.
Yeah.
You need
the motivation and distraction.
You need the motivation and the distraction. So mm-hmm. I think it has a lot of merit and a lot of benefit. And I get a number of people who ride outdoors that come indoors to ride.
Mm-hmm.
So especially on this, I have that hour and a half
days
class
like
on Sunday.
Today. It's so miserable.
Oh, days like today. It was hard for me to get into the gym today. Yeah. It was dark and dreary and raining and cold. And
no, today was pool day.
Yeah, yeah. Today was Ron has to teach class at 5:45 in the morning day.
Yeah, I just finished
too early.
Teaching a cardio strength class. So I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Yeah. Good. That's good. That's great. So what do I wear? What do I bring to spin class?
Well, you got to bring some water. Definitely you need your water. You want to bring a pair of shorts. You don't necessarily need to wear cycling shorts. You don't need all that kit. You don't necessarily need cycling shoes or
But you look so good.
But you don't need them.
No, you don't.
Shorts or capris, tight wearing capris and bottle, towel, and you're good to go. You know, you really don't need that much.
Yeah.
Need a chamois.
Yeah.
When
you're the princess, you need to know it's the pad inside the shorts.
Oh.
When you're the princess, you have to have the chamois and you have to have it specially prepared before you sit on it. And yeah,
I used to ride with one of those. I just don't need them anymore. I don't know if
I live with the princess, and the princess has to have everything exactly right.
Well, and that's going to depend on the person. If you've seasoned your bottom, as it were, you may not need a chamois in spin class. Probably on the road, you kind of do. But
I think so. Yeah. I think the road is a different ride, obviously.
Yeah, but I need them in spin class too.
Yeah.
But that's because of my anatomy, and I have taken bicycle talk episodes, and also even radio naturopath episodes to discuss what you need for your chamois. Like if you're having issues, because chafing is an issue, mm-hmm. it's a really big issue,
especially if you're on the bike for a few hours.
And I am very prone to it because of my anatomy. So I have a lot of stuff.
It's because
to talk
she's
about
a princess.
It.
She's special.
Sure, whatever.
She's special. So.
So do you use, is there like a special cream or
yes.
powder?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, there's an episode,
Why
I think.
Why don't you tell me about that? Because that's interesting.
Yes. Well, it's going to depend on the person. You're actually a person, and I've seen this before. I mean, your nails are beautiful.
Oh.
Is that good radio?
it's humorous.
Oh, okay.
It's going to depend on the woman's anatomy, and it's also going to depend where you are. Because literally the seasoning your butt and seasoning your crotch is part of the process of riding a bicycle. So in 2004, when I started riding, I had a 2-week period where I was miserable. I had tailbone pain. One of the reasons you hurt is because you haven't gotten your form yet. And so in order to get your form, you have to get that form of, you know, it's basically chair pose in yoga.
Yes.
And you have to get the chair pose. And the way that you get the chair pose, it's not your butt. It's your...
It's your core.
Right.
It's
so
all
once
about
you get,
the core.
So once you get, when you first get there, your core is not developed. So you're sitting very hard mm-hmm. into the saddle. Mm-hmm. And that is why your tailbone hurts. And mm-hmm. that's why your butt hurts. Once you've done the class a few times, or once you've been on a bike a few times, you start developing your core. And that you're not no longer sitting
anymore.
So hard in the saddle. But in any case, because you're moving your legs so much, stuff's going to rub.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on your anatomy... women have different anatomies. Some women, their anatomy is more flush to their bodies, and some people like me, they kind of flop. Now you all know that some things went, and if you're floppier, you're going to need more care.
Right.
You're going to definitely need that.
Because I have had some women approach me after class and be like, I just don't know what to do, and I can't. I don't resonate with that because obviously I'm built differently.
Yeah, and
so this is interesting for me to hear this.
Well, it's two things. One of them is the pain of sitting into the saddle, so you need the cushioning,
mm-hmm.
and so that's where the chamois comes in. And the second thing is the whatever substance you put on there, and people use different things. I have a particular brand I use, and I'm probably not supposed to say the brand, but my favorite brand has some very basic ingredients in it. It has some mostly shea butter.
Okay.
It might have some coconut oil in it, but definitely shea butter, coconut oil, and then it's got some peppermint oil and lemon balm in it. And peppermint oil and lemon balm are both antimicrobial.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that happens is if you chafe, you get irritated. And
exactly.
If you get irritated, you get a little infected. So if you have antimicrobial stuff, you're going to get less infections. The other thing is if you put chamois butter with antimicrobial stuff in it on the chamois, the chamois is going to stay cleaner. It's not going to get as bacteria and mold laden. So you have that, and then you have the lubrication. There are many products out there, and everyone's going to have a favorite product. There was one product I got a sample of, and I used it. It had way too much peppermint oil in it.
I think that would be a little too much.
Peppermint oil is exciting.
Yeah. Kind of in the wrong place.
Peppermint oil is really exciting, but if too much peppermint oil,
we won't get specific on this.
Yeah, it doesn't work for me. But I have to have that combination of the chamois and that specific chamois butter that's heavy on the shea butter and the coconut oil with a little bit of the essential oils, and that works great. If you become really irritated, then I like to, off the bike, I like to use calendula cream. Because I have a calendula cream, a favorite brand of that too. But you can get many brands of calendula cream and calendula salves that you can apply topically. They work as diaper creams too.
Right, that's what I was thinking. I would use that on my 2-year-old.
So if they work as a diaper cream,
exactly.
They're going to work on you. And some people will use A&D ointment,
mm-hmm.
which I don't recommend as much because it's got some chemicals in it. I'd much rather use calendula cream. But... chafing is the thing. And the other thing is, remember we went to Interbike and we met that mm-hmm. Italian guy, and he talked to me because I was having the bad problems with the chafing. He had a product that I don't remember what it was, and I've since stopped using it. But he said to me very clearly, Fran, you take the cream, you put it all over the chamois, top to bottom, and you put it all over you, top to bottom. So we're talking your front, your back, your genitals, your perineum, as well as over your anal area. You put it over the whole thing because you're making bacteria from your anal area too. And that's part of what causes the problem. And so one of the problems you may also see if people don't do the hygiene enough is some women will get UTIs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting the UTIs because same reason you have UTIs when you have sex. It's a whole bunch of sloshing of all that stuff. So if you use the chamois cream and you use the chamois, that's a lot less likely
to
happen.
You can prevent that, right, right. I did not expect this conversation to go that way.
When you're with Fran, you never know what you're going to get.
It's very useful, though. And
your letter, useful information.
Your class is going to appreciate it. You'll have that information. You'll be able to talk to them about it.
Yeah.
See? Now you know. Now you know. So I hope you're not embarrassed.
No.
You can't really see embarrassment on the radio either. So that's helpful. You're not blushing. No. No, but I can vouch for you that you're not blushing. But it's Fran has a whole science to it, and she's done clinics for people, and you know, she's a wealth of knowledge because she's.
That's right. You made those people talk to me at Farm to Fork.
Yes, yes. I'm always introducing her to especially women cyclists who have particular issues that are different than men. You know what drives me nuts? People that come into their first spin class and they're wearing a pair of running shorts.
Yes. It's
like
not comfortable.
The really short running
mm-hmm.
shorts.
That's not going to be comfortable.
It's really a bad idea.
No. You want to be wearing something fairly tight fitting,
I agree. And then, let me see. We can do some spin rants here while we've got it. How about the people that come in with like the full sweatsuit?
And they just want to like.
What are they doing?
I don't know.
I'm completely like.
Sweat a lot?
Miffed by that.
I don't know.
It just seems so heavy and bulky. Shorts. You want to wear some shorts or a pair of capris, like you said, are fine too. Something where you have a little bit of ventilation at least.
Yeah, because it's going to get hot. It's going to get hot unless they're trying to produce a tremendous amount of sweat. I'm not sure.
But it's
but
just
going
to go back on them again.
Right.
It's like a temporary fix. You know, it's the old, I'm going to wear a plastic suit so I can, you know, sweat out all this moisture. And then that doesn't work. That's not the way you do it.
Not for the next, yeah.
No, it doesn't work that way. So anyway, so what about different instructors? I mean, we teach different classes.
We all have a different style. That's for sure. So if you do go to a class, you know, and you're not really crazy about the class, or you don't like their music, we're all so different. So different. We have different styles, different tastes, different way of instructing. So just give it a shot. If you don't like one, try another one, and then try another one.
I'm with you on that. You know, my friend Todd, Todd Friedland, got me into this whole spinning thing.
And, Todd. Okay.
Yeah. You know Todd.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Todd, you know, he's an outdoor cyclist as well. And back in the days of my bike shop, he discovered his bicycle again when he was when I had the bike shop, and he was. His parents didn't allow him to ride a bike when he was a kid because they thought it was dangerous.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so Todd became like this adult born-again cyclist, which is really cool. And
Because he used to be a spin instructor.
Oh, yeah. And he was teaching a lot. And, you know, he told me, he said, you really should come to my spin class. Of course, I was a snobby outdoor cyclist.
Right.
I was one of those guys. Mm-hmm. And I looked at him and I said, what do I want to do that for? Come on now. He said, Ron, you'd be great at this. You'd be really good at this. You know, he said, just come take my class. He begging me. I finally said, okay, I'm going to take your class. So I go and I take his class. And it was funny, you know, because you're sitting in there and I'm on the spin bike and there's a person to the right of me. And they've got it in some ungodly gear, and they're slugging away on the bike and fighting with the bike, and the bike is, of course, winning the battle. And then the person on the other side of me is turning their legs around at 150
right,
RPMs.
Right.
And I'm looking around, and I'm going, this is why I don't do spin class. I mean, this is silly. It just seemed really weird to me. But, you know, I went, you know, I'm going to keep my mind open. I'm going to take Todd's class and I give it a shot. And I took the class and I went through it and I just, you know, rode my bike like I would ride my bike.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm riding along and I got done and it was like, wow, it was a pretty good workout. You know, that was all right. That was not a lot of fun. And he came up to me afterwards and he said, so what do you think? And I said, that was a good workout. And I said, boy, you have a lot of different people in
range
here.
Of
and
abilities.
He said, oh, yes, I do. And he said, you know, he said, it was so nice to have you in the class. He goes, because I look out in the room and I've got all these people in the room. And he said, you just stuck out like a sore thumb. He said, you're just like, you're on your bike. You belong on your bike. You can see it. And he said, I think you'd be good at this. Well, all the time I'm taking a class, I'm going, well, I could do this. I could do that.
Absolutely.
I could do that. You know, you're thinking about all these different ways that you would teach the class. And I said, I'm hooked. You got me. And he said, take 4 more classes with 4 different instructors.
Yeah, so you can see.
And he said, you're going to be amazed at the different styles that are out there of different types of riders. And he said, you know, I'm an outdoor rider, so I have more of that kind of a spin class that I teach. I do like the descriptive hill thing and all that. And he said, but you're going to see others that are going to be very, very different. And I did that. And there were some that I got done and said, I'll never take that person's class again.
Right.
Because
yeah,
that wasn't that wasn't what I was looking for. But that's where you get that variety.
Absolutely.
We're all a little different. We all have our different idea about how to do things.
Yeah. You're going to love some and you're going to hate some.
Right.
And that's no reflection on that teacher's, you know, ability or anything else. It's just, you're not gonna like everybody.
Right. And you're not gonna like everybody's music, and you know, there's gonna be things that you're gonna have to work with. But the point is you're going there to get the workout.
I had a neat experience. So I've been going to a place called Life or Cycle in West Hartford.
Big
shout out.
We're gonna bring this up. Yeah.
Big shout out to Deborah Fountain. She's a goddess. She's amazing. And I think that's an amazing place. And they have, over at Life or Cycle, they do have the Kaiser bikes. And they have the 2.0 Kaiser bikes, like the latest model of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the neat thing about the Kaiser bikes, they don't have the dial. They have
the lever
like they do at the Mansfield Community Center. And she teaches, she's not Mad Dog, so she, well, maybe she is Mad Dog, but she doesn't call it Mad Dog. She calls it Cycle. And so
probably not
what,
Mad Dog.
There's a trend in cycling indoor fitness to that's been brought on by SoulCycle. I think
yes.
SoulCycle is the epitome of that. And then there's a general trend to do kind of like an aerobics class on the bike where you're doing exercises on the bike.
And different hand movements.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Which Deborah does a little bit. She didn't do too much, and I had told her beforehand that I'm not so crazy about that, But I took her class, and I loved her class because Deborah's an awesome teacher. And I did get a great workout in her class. I didn't do everything exactly the way that Deborah coached it, but I did it most of it. You know, when she was telling us to spin at 120 RPMs for a long time, I didn't do that. If I do that, I will cramp. Mm-hmm. So I didn't do that. But I did spin faster, you know, a fast paced for me. I did a modified version of the push-ups. And I found the thing about going into Deborah's class, because I was open to Deborah, I had an open mind, and I was ready to receive what Deborah was offering. Yeah. And it's also that Deborah, even though she doesn't do things exactly the way I would do them, she was extremely motivating.
Right.
And I loved that about her, and made me want to be in the class, and I would definitely go back to it. So that would be the thing, is that even if people are teaching different styles, go in knowing that you can modify it in a way that you like, but also be open to what they're offering you, because they probably have something to teach you.
Yeah, you probably didn't think you were going to be doing all the things that you did in that class if you didn't, you know, you said you went in thinking, oh, I don't want to do the hand things and this and that, but you open.
Yes.
And you ended up having a good time and
of course
doing something different.
Yeah. So, hey, we're getting near the end here. I am here today. This is Bicycle Talk, and I'm here with Carrie Jenkins and Fran Storch, who are both Mad Dog certified spinning instructors. We've been talking about spinning. And, Carrie, you have some specifics here, a couple of websites that you're involved with. Are there ways for people to get in contact with you?
Absolutely. If someone wants to check me out or follow my blog, they can go to Mind Body Mechanics, and that's an N-I-X at the end, not a I-C-H-S at the end, so N-I-X at the end. And that kind of charts... the specifics of that is mostly exercise and depression, linking those two together. And then for those people who might be struggling with weight, my website is Shrink Program. That's all one word, shrinkprogram.com.
That's great.
And that's a very specific type of program. It mostly deals with if you're a type A or if you're a type A type person, it's really good weight loss. And so check that out, shrinkprogram.com.
All right. That's great. It's been great to have you on. I knew we would like burn through this hour like nothing.
Yeah, that wasn't bad. I was a little nervous.
No, there's nothing to be nervous about. No, you're with two people who like to talk a lot, so it's easy. and you don't seem to have much of a struggle with that either. So
it was fun.
But that's why you're an instructor, because, you know, you have that type of personality, which you bring out the best in people, and it's a cool thing.
Thank you.
A totally cool thing. So anyway, once again, I am here with Carrie Jenkins, a certified spinning instructor and everything else you could possibly imagine. And Fran Storch, also a certified spinning instructor. And of course, me. I'm the same thing right here. And you are listening to Bicycle Talk with a show where we talk about bicycles and bicycle culture and bicycle advocacy, the upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you are interested in contacting us, you can send an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com, and I will answer any questions you have. Or if you're interested in being a future guest on the show, I would love to have you here so we can talk about bicycles, because, you know, bicycles are where it's at. It's a beautiful thing. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. You're listening to 91.7 FM, Storrs, Connecticut.